Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Today I want to take you to some heavenly orchestrated music in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Meet me in 2 Corinthians 12. We'll look at verses 1 through 4. It may help you to find this little piece of paper entitled, Like Paul, Be Motivated by the Reality of Heaven. I heard a funny story about a pastor. He stood up before his congregation and he said, how many of you want to go to heaven? And everybody raised up their hand except for one young man near the front. Young man about like Abraham. And the pastor looked at him and said, son, do you want to go to heaven someday? He said, yes, sir, someday. I thought you were getting up a group to go right now. Well, friend, I'm here to tell you, someday, one day, it will be my turn. Someday, one day, it will be your turn. We'll eat our last meal, take our last ride, have our last heartbeat. And we'll be transported through this portal called death into the presence of God. And what will that be like? Well, we can learn a lot from the Apostle Paul because evidently he had that experience. We're not sure the exact context of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's my educated guess. Do you remember we had a few years ago a man here named Don Piper? Don Piper has written a very famous book called 90 Minutes in Heaven. And he was intriguing. He spoke in the morning service and the evening service. And he had an experience where after a crushing car wreck, he was pronounced dead by three people. And 90 minutes later, he revived. And he said in that 90 minutes, he had an experience in heaven. Could it be this passage of Scripture is linked to what happened to Paul in the city of Lystra? Here Paul was preaching, and as he was preaching, they turned against him. He was stoned. The disciples around him thought he was dead. They grabbed him and they drug him out of the city, thinking that he was stone cold dead. Maybe Paul spent 90 minutes in heaven, and he had this vision. Well, let's see it. Scripture says, 2 Corinthians 12, Paul writing, boasting is necessary, though it is not profitable, but I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ, and Paul is referring to himself, who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or out of the body, I do not know, but God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I don't know, God knows, was caught up into paradise. And he heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. In other words, Paul saw the splendors and glories of heaven, and they were beyond his description. And somehow, this picture of heaven fueled his faith and made him fearless. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would etch in our hearts and spirits a beautiful, resplendent picture of the realities of heaven. Lord, I pray that you would get me out of the way and your spirit would be released in this place to deposit your transforming, instructional, and motivational truth in every receptive heart. And I pray for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, here's what we'll do. For the next few moments, I want us to look at heaven. Now, it's interesting. Paul describes this as the third heaven. The Bible tells us that there is the first heaven, and that's our atmosphere. That's where you see clouds float and birds fly, and you see it by day. Then the Bible says there is a second heaven, and that's the place of space. That's where we see the stars and the moon, and we see it by night. But the Scripture describes here a third heaven. And the third heaven is the dwelling place of God. And we see it with eyes of faith. So with that in view, let's look at five fabulous features of the Christ followers forever. Beginning with number one, we will live in a wonderful new body. That's what the scripture says. In heaven, we will live in a wonderful new body. Now, Paul explains in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and please refer to it on your worksheet, that these earth suits are like tents that are temporary. Pick up with me on the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. Paul said, "We know that when these bodies of ours are taken down like tents and folded away, they will be replaced by resurrection bodies in heaven. God made, not handmade. Sometimes we can hardly wait to move, and so we cry out in frustration." Well, you've probably noticed that your body is temporary, and it tends to break. Have you noticed that? And especially as we age, it breaks easier and it's harder to heal, I've noticed. When you get to be about my age, 60 or over, your theme song becomes, "Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to the dock I go." You know how it is. When you get a little older, your knees buckle and your belt won't. Some of us even suffer from a little furniture disease. That's when your chest drops into your drawers. I mean, there are all these kind of things that we deal with as we get older because these bodies are temporary. Earth is a temporary assignment, friends. So that's what the Apostle Paul is underlining for us, that we're going to have aches and pains now, but don't despair. Someday you're going to get a new body. It's called a resurrection body. And I think that's very appealing, a body that will not get sick, it will not grow old, it will not ever be tired. This is a picture of the resurrection body. There's a lady that I admire greatly named Johnny Erickson Tada. I'm sure many of you have heard of Johnny Erickson Tada. She was 17 years old, and in a swimming accident, she broke her neck and became a paraplegic. Johnny Erickson Tada, for 2 years, was in a rehab hospital. She was depressed. She wanted to die. And yet God invaded her misery, and he turned her around. She is a perfect picture of Romans 8:28. God has brought tremendous good from her deep suffering. As a matter of fact, Johnny has become extremely close to my daughter-in-law, Catherine, and to our son, Jason. She and her husband, Ken, have had Jason and Catherine in their home several times, and she just has this mighty ministry. Her ministry is art. She can paint with her teeth, and maybe you've had one of her gift cards. She has a phenomenal singing voice. She's made a lot of albums and CDs. This lady has an amazing capacity to speak, so you probably heard her on her nationally syndicated radio program. She has authored 9 books, and my favorite of her books is entitled Heaven, Your Real Home, based on Philippians 3, verse 20. Because Philippians 3, verse 20 explains that we are citizens of heaven. Listen to what she wrote in her book about the new body, the resurrection body. She said, "I, with shriveled, bent fingers, atrophied muscles, gnarled knees, and no feeling from my shoulders down, will one day have a new body, a body that is light, bright, clothed with righteousness, powerful and dazzling." Can you imagine the hope this gives someone who has a spinal cord injury like me? No other religion on earth, no other philosophy promises new bodies, new hearts, new minds. Only in the gospel of Jesus Christ do hurting people find such amazing hope. You see, I want you to anchor to that hope even right now. Maybe your body is in the process of letting you down, breaking you down. Well, hang in, hang on, friends. Anchor to Hebrews 6, verse 19. The hope of Christ is the anchor of your soul. See the big picture and always measure your today against the backdrop of eternity and what God has coming for you. Let's go to number two. And there in number two, observe, in heaven, we will be friends with Bible heroes. Have you ever thought about that? Not only will we have a new, wonderful resurrection body, we will be friends with Bible heroes. Let me base that on Matthew 8, verse 11. Jesus said, "Many will come from the east and the west and will take their places in the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Now, Jesus is revealing an astonishing truth about heaven. He compares it to a feast with friends. I've long said that heaven and following Jesus is not a burden to bear. It is a party to share. And that's what we learn here. We're going to be in heaven with biblical heroes like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Can't you imagine what it would be to be meeting heaven's heroes? To sit down and talk with Moses and let him tell you about what it was like to see the Red Sea parted? Can't you imagine the amazing story that David would have as he regales audience after audience with how Goliath fell when he got hit in the head with that stone? And then there's Daniel talking about the lion's den. Can't you imagine what it's like to hear Peter talking about Pentecost, or Paul telling us about his experience on the Damascus Road? In heaven, it will be like a great feast, and you will become friends with Bible heroes. So let me give you a point of application. In the meantime, let's make our homes and our churches a slice of harmonious heaven on earth. Oh, you see, heaven ought to motivate us to put aside any kind of anger, malice, or rancor and be unified in the Lord and who we are in Christ. Friends, when people come into your home, there should be that aura of heaven because there's this divine unity in that place. That's what people talk with me about when they come into this church. I had somebody that came in here a few weeks ago and they said, I just love the atmosphere at First Baptist. You can just tell it's a family that loves each other and they're united. You see, that's our goal, to be people in harmony with the Lord and with each other. And that makes your home, this church, a slice of heaven on earth. Let's go to number three. We will recognize our loved ones. Think about it. We will recognize our loved ones. It says in Matthew 8 that evidently Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are recognizable figures in heaven. But look at Mark chapter 9, verse 4. This is when Jesus was transfigured at Mount Tabor. It says, "There appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus." You remember the setting. Jesus took the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, with him. Mount Tabor is just a hill, really, on the plain of Esdraelon, right outside of Nazareth. I've been up to the top of this small mountain. And there Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and suddenly he was metamorphosized. Jesus was in his gleaming persona of the resurrected body. They said he was bright as the noonday sun. And joining him, they instantly knew, came Moses, the one who represents the law. And then Elijah, the one who represents the prophets. Peter, James, and John instantly recognized them. And so we can extract that in heaven, we will recognize our loved ones. We will have an individual identity. Now, let me point out a fallacy. A lot of times people have this belief that their departed loved one becomes an angel. Now, the Bible never teaches that. The Bible teaches that angels are a separate category of creation, and people are a separate category of creation. Now, Jesus does say, when we die, we will be like angels. We will share some of their characteristics. For instance, we will spend eternity worshiping the King of Kings. But heaven will be more than floating on a cloud or having a perennial hymn sing or plucking a harp. The angels serve the purpose of God, and we will too. But dead people do not graduate to becoming angels. That's not taught in the Bible. People are people, and angels are angels. So here's what I would suggest to you. If you want to really bless people, if you want to really bless your loved ones, share with them the ultimate truth about how to go to heaven. You see, friend, if you are heaven bound, you're bound to take people with you. That's the point. The greatest act of love you can possibly present to another person, and especially a loved one, is to tell them the truth. Don't simply acquiesce to their sin or agree with bad theology. But the greatest thing you can do for anyone is to tell them the truth, to tell them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. Share the gospel. Be a heaven-bound person who is bound to tell people about how to get to heaven. Let's go to number four. We will rejoice in the no mores. We will rejoice in the no mores. Now, heaven, it's described in Revelation chapter 21, is a place, as Paul said, of indescribable beauty. But there are some metaphors given in Revelation 21, verse 4. For instance, it says, Jesus will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. You see, heaven is described also as this gorgeous bride adorned for her husband. It's a place described as everything is brand new. Nothing is broken, a place of security, a place where we are in the unbroken presence of God. I would urge you to go and study Revelation chapter 21. Oh, it will encourage you. It will instruct you. It will inspire you. But start with what it says. Heaven is like a gorgeous bride. Now, I've had the privilege of seeing a lot of brides. Matter of fact, this weekend, I saw two beautiful brides right here at this church. And it was always amazing to me when you see a beautiful bride. And again, I've seen over 900 of them. I can tell you this, I have never, ever, ever seen an unbeautiful bride. Although a few just barely made it now. But by and large, every bride I've ever seen is just gorgeous. And you know why? Because a bride is prepared. Oh, that bride has been fixed up and they've got their hair and their makeup just right. As a matter of fact, I talked to a bride a few weeks ago, and she came down after the service was over, and she hugged my neck, and she said, oh, Pastor Jay, thank you for doing my wedding. And she said, you know, the first thing I plan to do tomorrow when my honeymoon starts, my husband and I are heading to Krispy Kreme donuts. I said, why are you going to Krispy Kreme? She said, because I'm tired of lemon water for the last 3 months, and I'm going to go have me a Bavarian cream Krispy Kreme donut. Well, you see, when you get married, you're like that bride. You're prepared. You've been preparing yourself to meet the groom. And that's what the Bible says in Revelation 21. But furthermore, it says in heaven, there will be no more death, no more tears, no more sighing, no more crying, no more dying. Do you know in heaven, there will be no hospitals? There will be no psychiatric units? There will be no more oncology wards? There will be no more broken homes, no more broken hearts, no more broken promises. You see, in heaven, it's a place of the no mores. And my friend, here's what I would urge you to understand if you're going right now through a very hard and difficult time. Paul explained it like this in 2 Corinthians 4:16. Your current temporary afflictions are a pebble compared to the mountain of the glory of God that you will encounter in heaven. So you hang in. You hold on. Remember that what you're dealing with right now is only temporary. And compared to the weighty glory of heaven, it will pale into insignificance. Number four is this. We will see Jesus face to face. We will see Jesus face to face. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 13, again, Paul is writing in verse 12, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. You see, in Paul's day, they didn't have glass mirrors that were precise in the reflection. The mirrors were crude, and you would only see a shadowy version of yourself. And so now we see through a mirror dimly, but one day, someday, when we pass through the portal of death and we stand in the halls of heaven, friends, we will see Jesus face to face. Now, let me quickly tell you, there are a lot of things I do not currently understand, but the Bible says in heaven, there will be no sea. That means there will be no mystery, that we will completely understand, and every one of your question marks will be reformed into exclamation points. We will understand the purpose of God fully and completely. Oh, friends, we will see Jesus face to face. We will have complete comprehension of the mysteries of life. Always remember, the essence of heaven is not the streets paved with gold or the radiant rainbow over the throne of God. The essence of heaven is simply to be in the presence of Jesus Christ in His unbroken love and light for eternity. That is the essence of heaven. Let me explain it like this. I live at 3049 Highfield Drive, but the essence of my home is not the sticks and the bricks or the furniture or the decorations. The essence of what makes that house a home is my family. And the heart and the soul of my home is my Mary Ruth. We've been married for 40 years now. And if you take Mary Ruth out of my house, it's not a home. It's just a collection of sticks and bricks. Matter of fact, when Mary Ruth is traveling, I'm generally up at church or outdoors or doing something, because that house doesn't have the same appeal to me. It's just a house. She makes it a home. That's what makes heaven so resplendent. It's not the adornments. It's the person of Jesus. And for eternity, we will see Him face to face. A man by the name of John Boudreau wrote a story, an essay really, called The Happiness of Heaven. And in the story, he described a king. And this king had a great country that he ruled over. And one day he was on an outing. He was exploring his kingdom. And he met a young man who was broken of body, living in poverty, and he was blind. This young man was an orphan. And something in the king's heart was pulled toward this young boy. And he said, "Son, I want you to come home to the palace, and I want you to be in my family." Well, they researched his problem, and there was a doctor that was able to do a surgery, and the little boy's vision was restored. And when that little boy had his vision restored, do you think that he spent all of his time surveying the regal wealth of the kingdom? No, that little boy simply wanted to look into his father's face, the one who saved him and the one who loved him. That's what heaven will be like, friend. You will never grow tired of seeing Jesus face to face. Well, here's the bottom line. Please note the conclusion. The reality of heaven motivates us to share the good news. The reality of heaven motivates us to share the good news. Don't you remember Stephen was being stoned to death? And the Bible says, for just a moment, that veil, the curtain which separates earth from eternity, was opened, and Stephen could see Jesus standing for him. And I believe that Jesus was standing for Stephen because Stephen stood for Jesus, and he boldly, with faithfulness, he shared Jesus with everybody. So here's the bottom line. If you are heaven bound, take somebody with you. Let's pray.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.